Hello, everyone, and welcome to Phantom Chasers Radio. This is Phantom B. Some of my family members call me Biddly Bidlum. Been a little bit on the crazy side since I was a kid. It's a good thing. I've always aspired to uncover cover-ups, conspiracies, that kind of thing, because I've been both a victim and a conspirator, so I know both sides of the fence. But anyways, welcome to today's radio program. I'm going to dedicate a series to this whole epidemic we have in Hollywood of the rape and child molestation culture that seems to permeate it. We seem to be obsessed in this country with movies and music and TV shows. And what bothers me is how much of a negative effect does all that have on us? We may not even realize it. It may have more of a negative effect than we think. There is a lot of subtlety in movies and TV shows where they very covertly tell us what they're doing. Hopefully in this radio series, we will begin to understand that and hopefully insulate ourselves from this. That's what I'm hoping that you can learn to do, is to insulate yourself from the dark side of Hollywood. I'm not saying never watch a movie or TV show ever again. Just be careful of what you watch and who stars in those, because not all movie stars are decent people. Not all are bad either. It's you got to judge them on an individual case of what they do outside, you know, their show business routine. So anyways, I'm going to start off with the whole Bob Saget mystery. To me, his murder was, and I call it murder. I don't care what they say about accidental or anything else. This was murder. And I spent some time in Hollywood myself. I was married into a show business family. So believe me, I've seen the worst of the worst and the best of the best, both sides of the fence with these people. So let me go ahead and get started here. The Bob Saget mystery. On January 9th of 2022, 65-year-old actor and comedian Bob Saget was found dead in his hotel room in Orlando, Florida. Deputies were called to the Ritz-Carlton on a call that someone was unresponsive. Bob Saget was pronounced dead at the scene. Saget was in Florida for his, quote, I Don't Do Negative tour, which included a stop in Orlando. So what happened? On February 9, 2022, People magazine reported that Bob Saget's family confirmed that Saget died of head trauma. Authorities told the family that Saget accidentally hit the back of his head on something. They believed that he thought nothing of it and went to bed. Authorities also state there was no alcohol or drugs involved. The autopsy report cast suspicion on the accidental hit to the head theory, when it clearly shows his skull had been fractured in several places and caused bleeding across both sides of his brain. These findings were prepared by Dr. Joshua Stephanie, the chief medical examiner at Orange and Oswego counties in Florida. Based on the findings, the autopsy creates more questions than it answers. For instance, how could someone with so many fractures to the skull be conscious enough to make it to bed? What could he possibly have hit his head on to cause so many fractures, and why wasn't this addressed in the autopsy report? Was he found in bed, and if so, was there any blood that might have occurred from such a hard hit to the head that would have been found nearby? Such a hard fall would have created a disturbance that would have been heard by other guests. Did anyone hear the commotion from such a fall? And if they did, were medical personnel notified immediately? If not, why? Experts say that such a fall should have left injuries elsewhere in the body, but medical examiners found none. How is that possible? The medical examiner who performed the autopsy claims that he ignored the injury and went to bed, but experts refute that, claiming that such an injury would have rendered him unconscious. Why the contradiction between official conclusions and other experts? Why is Bob Saget's family refusing to allow the autopsy report to be released in its entirety? What are they trying to hide? Why is the family now refusing to allow autopsy photos to be released to the public? What are they hiding? These are but a few of the questions that come to mind when examining this case. As with other cases of this nature, we have to question the cause of death
based on what we know about such injuries. We can also look at the actor comedian's background to see if he created enemies while working as an entertainer. What do experts say about the injuries? The first thing you do is get the opinion of experts in the area of brain trauma to determine what the coroner says meshes with what experts are saying. Neurosurgeons say that the injuries described by the autopsy report are more consistent with a fall from a great height or being thrown from their seat in a car crash. This is hardly what the coroner is claiming when he says, quote, that the subject fell and then went to bed thinking it was nothing to worry about, unquote. However, the autopsy shows that no other injuries to the body were found, as what would be expected if he fell from a great height. This leaves one explanation for the cause of injuries, and the answer is not going to be good. According to Dr. Gavin Britz, quote, this is something I find with someone with a baseball bat to the head or has fallen from 20 to 30 feet, unquote. Dr. Britz is the chair of neurosurgery at Houston Methodist. Dr. Britz also stated that the autopsy shows that the fractures to the thick parts of the skull as well as to the bones in the roof of the eye socket, quote, if you fracture your orbit, you have significant pain, unquote. I prefer to listen to Dr. Britz rather than some coroner who may or may not have a questionable motive for his determination. There are others who question the coroner's findings. Dr. Bazarian said, quote, I doubt he was lucid and I doubt he thought, I'm just going to sleep this off, unquote. According to the autopsy, there were no signs of alcohol or illegal drugs, yet the test did find clonazepam, which is used to prevent seizures and treat panic attacks. The test also found trazodone, an antidepressant. Experts say that these drugs may have contributed to Saget's injuries, but say that they can cause a person to be sleepy that could contribute to a fall. Yet expert after expert has said that Saget's injuries are more indicative of a fall from a great height or an attack with a blunt force object, such as a baseball bat. Why are there contradictions between the official conclusions of the coroner's office and experts in the field of brain injuries? What really happened to Bob Saget, and why is his family now apparently involved in trying to cover up the true nature of his death? To answer these questions, cops will begin looking at family, co-workers, and any death threats he may have received, his contacts within and outside show business, and more ominously, his personal life and habits that may have contributed to his death. Hollywood and pedophiles. It is well documented that Hollywood is full of rapists and pedophiles. This is no secret and has been attested to in court by actresses who have suffered rape as children in Hollywood and on into adulthood. This author of this show, that'd be me, lived and worked in Hollywood in the late 80s and early 90s and knows very well what goes on there. I was married into a show business family that had a shady background. For instance, my father-in-law while in high school was sleeping with 13-year-old girls when he was 18. When he was in Europe, he met a teenage girl who was 14 at the time, with whom he slept with several times. When he came home to America, he continued his promiscuous lifestyle, mostly with teenage girls, though he was in his late 20s. My family knew him and the woman who was to become his wife. I married their daughter in the 80s and had to sign a non-disclosure agreement that I would never identify them. Why am I telling you this, and what does this have to do with Bob Saget's death? Simple. I saw firsthand what celebrities are capable of through my father-in-law and the resultant cover-ups, and I do not believe his death was an accident due to a fall. Even though he was a beloved actor on the television series Full House, he went on to become a comedian, and it is well known that he went into some deep, dark areas that most comedians would avoid. I have seen the darker side of Hollywood from the inside and know exactly what is going on, and it is not a pretty picture. This is why I no longer work as an actor or live in Hollywood. According to an NBC News article on the subject of his dark humor, described as a rare Hollywood talent who could portray a wholesome father in prime time and still maintain a stand-up presence by exploring sometimes dark and epithet-laden humor. The article also states he has been credited with one of the dirtiest versions of aristocrats. I admit that I've never heard of his comedy act, but I did watch his television show for years. The idea that a wholesome television actor who plays a father who is akin to Ward Cleaver and then outside of that job is talking about blowjobs, hookers, and God knows what else is actually normal for Hollywood. You have to remember that wholesome image of a television father is just that, an image. He's an actor. It is his job to convince you that he is someone he is not in real life. Look at how many actors have played wholesome people on television and in the movies, and then we find out in real life they are wife beaters, rapists, child molesters, and the such. It helps to identify the scandals that have rocked Hollywood, modeling, and the music industry for decades. Look at the current saga with Britney Spears and the conservatorship and the abuses she suffered. Abuses, I might add, that have not been prosecuted to this day. I could go on, but the list is too long and drawn out to go on into other areas. At this point, we cannot conclude that Bob Saget is any of those things that I just described. I hope not, especially since he leaves behind a wife and two daughters who have to deal with his death and legacy. Yet the manner of his death suggests it's something other than what the official findings conclude. The fact that he is a famous actor and comedian who drifted towards a dark and foreboding side in his humor suggests that either he made somebody mad enough to want to kill him, or he was into something that had to be covered up for the sake of the industry. His death, hopefully, will lead to the end of a cover-up. Who is he connected to? Remember that cops look to the closest people in their circle to find suspects before they go looking for strangers. In this case, let us look at his wife, Kelly Rizzo. Most people might think it is strange if she would use her maiden name, but actually that is quite common in show business. According to Kelly, who is quoted by NBC News, she texted her husband and he responded. Here's his transcript of that exchange. "I was just very grateful that it was all, I love you so much," Rizzo said. "I think I said, I love you dearly," and he said, "I love you endlessly." And then I said, "I can't wait to see you tomorrow." It was just all love. Doesn't sound suspicious, and is completely normal for two people in love who have been married for so long and have children. Then explain the two drugs found in his system. One of those was for panic attacks, and the other one was for depression. Remember that these are show business people who put on airs to keep their fans and the public unaware of any problems in the marriage. It is doubtful that she would be unaware of his depression and anxiety issues. Just to show you an example of how things get covered up just to keep the money machine rolling along, I knew about my father-in-law's promiscuity and drug use and was told never to mention it publicly, and if the media ever caught on to it, I was told to say that I did not know about the young girls and pain meds. So, are you starting to get the picture of how show business works? Now let us look at his friends in show business, because as you know, you're known by the company you keep. In Hollywood, that company can get you killed. In my case, I was not only married to the daughter of a show business singer and actor, but also a Scientologist, which made my situation even more dire. John Mayer. John Mayer is a longtime friend of Bob Saget. They met when Saget asked Mayer to perform stand-up comedy for a charity event. This guy is a real piece of work and has a career full of controversies, including one where he threatened to sodomize an editor for a magazine. He is also described as a racist and a misogynist. Remember, the company you keep is how people will remember you, and sometimes it may explain your behavior as well. For instance, if you hang out with alcoholics and you're seen stumbling down the street from the bar, then it can be concluded that you may be an alcoholic as well. He also described what it is like dating Jessica Simpson by calling her sexual napalm. Obviously, the guy has issues with the opposite sex. That kind of behavior can lead to things much more dangerous and sadistic, including rape, torture, murder, and if these people are sick enough to get a hold of children to take out their frustrations on, child rape and murder will ensue there, too. John Mayer also dated Taylor Swift, who was 19 at the time. That kind of age difference already suggests that he's going after girls younger and younger all the time, considering he dated Jennifer Aniston 8 years as senior. In another article, I will talk about how Taylor Swift fits into all this Hollywood pedophile sickness. In an article, Distractify, Taylor Swift is quoted as saying, where she accuses Singer of taking advantage of her during a formative time in her life. So what does that mean? He wrote her coattails to fame? Doubtful, since he was already famous and didn't need that attention. So what did she mean by that quote? It's Hollywood. You can bet she meant something much more. She uses the term formative time of her life. I don't want to get into trouble here, but this sounds like she's claiming that he sexually assaulted her. This is exactly what he threatened to do to an editor of a magazine. I don't mean to go off on a tangent since we are talking about Bob Saget, but these people are all connected through show business to each other. Jeff Ross. Jeff is also a friend of John Mayer and Bob Saget and is an actor and comedian. A dramatic pause is also needed here as he is accused of inappropriate conduct as John Mayer. In this case, unlike Taylor Swift, he is outright accused of having sex with Jessica Radke when she was just 15 years old. In California, the law states that statutory rape occurs whether she consented or not. Jessica Radke. Jessica claims that she had a sexual relationship with Jeff Ross when she was 15 and that he was 33. She describes the relationship and his work in show business in an article at Vulture.com, which you can find down below in the link that'll take you to the page of sources. Once again, you are known by the company you keep. Now that we have looked at both John Mayer and Jeff Ross, we have to ask a question about something written in the paper. People magazine article about Bob Saget. In another People article, John Mayer remembers Bob Saget as he and Jeff Ross went to retrieve the late actor's car from LAX. Why did John Mayer and Jeff Ross pick up his car from Los Angeles International Airport? Would that not have been a job for his wife and daughters? Wouldn't the Los Angeles Police Department want to keep that car in place in case it turned out there was foul play? Could there have been something in that car that they needed to get rid of? Things keep getting weirder by the moment over this case. Remember that you have to look at Bob Saget in the larger context of Hollywood and the pedophiles that invest it. There has got to be something going on behind the scenes that would suggest he was murdered to keep something quiet. Candace Cameron Burr. Candace is a Christian who is associated with the Dugars and supports them and Josh Dugar in spite of his conviction for possessing child pornography. She knows Bob Saget from playing his daughter in Full House and attended his funeral where she spoke positively about him. Enough said there in this case. Lori Loughlin. Lori and her husband were convicted of conspiracy and fraud charges that stemmed from trying to get their daughters into college on an athletic scholarship, even though neither one of them is an athlete. They also knew Bob Saget and attended his funeral and spoke positively about him. Not exactly criminal charges related to anything sexual, but once again, we see who Bob Saget was connected to. Reminder, the company that you keep. Kathy Griffin. Kathy Griffin was simulated giving a blowjob to Anderson Cooper live on CNN and then in another broadcast stripped down to her bra and panties on CNN, even though they have a no nudity rule. Once again, not necessarily a sexual offense, but it could be if children had been watching CNN. Once again, it shows that people around Bob Saget are highly sexualized and go to extremes to get attention through sexual deviation. Kathy Griffin attended his funeral and spoke positively about him. John Stamos. John Stamos worked with Bob Saget on Full House and remained friends with him even after the show ended in 1995. So how does John Stamos fit into the whole sexual perversion aspect of this mess? John played a serial reproductive abuser on Law & Order SVU, which coincidentally is where he met his wife, Caitlin McHugh. In the episode, he poked holes in condoms and then slept with women to secretly impregnate them. Caitlin McHugh played a victim of his on the show. Interesting. Then he is quoted as saying, "It took me 7 years, but eventually I had a child with my Disney girl." What the hell does that mean? Ooh. See how this perversion is connected? There's no evidence that he is perverted in real life, but then he makes a comment like that publicly? Entourage. The story of this HBO show addresses actor Mark Wahlberg's life and shows the activities of actors, agents, and others in the film industry. Bob Saget had a small role where he played a fictional version of himself. Interestingly enough, there's a quote from Bob Saget on one episode where he's quoted as saying, "Bob Saget, hey Vince, buddy, I need a favor. I need you to fuck my daughter's friend so I don't have to." Remember that he is not playing a completely fictional character, but a fictionalized version of himself. Did Bob Saget reference a real-life incident where this may have occurred? We may never know. But if it did, and more incidents like this occurred, then such a thing could have led someone, whose daughter may have been involved with Saget, to take matters into their own hands. If Bob Saget got himself involved in underage sex with teens, and there was a pattern of this activity, then he may have made a parent mad enough to kill him. I know from my days in Hollywood that many angry parents showed up in Los Angeles looking for their teenage runaway daughters. There have been recorded cases of parents taking shots at directors, producers, and in some cases confronting actors and threatening them with bodily harm, both famous and not so famous, over alleged abuse of their teen daughters by these people. You are known by the company you keep, and the people on the show Entourage are not the nicest people, including Donnie Wahlberg, who has a violent past from his teen years. Hollywood is full of people that if you knew their proclivities, you would turn off the television and never watch a TV show, movie, or listen to their raunchy music again. You will find that much of their loss of inhibition when it comes to sex started long before they got to Hollywood. Corey Feldman. Corey has been very outspoken about the pedophilia in Hollywood, saying that it is the biggest problem in Hollywood. Corey Feldman says that Corey Haim was raped by an A-lister who Haim identified to Feldman. Feldman also said that he was raped as a child by a star, but has never identified the rapist. After telling him the story, he then swore him to secrecy, only to reveal it later because he felt he might be killed. Strangely enough, shortly after telling the story for him, he died of complications of pneumonia due to a lifetime of drug use. Alt-media people on the internet, including Alex Jones, immediately called foul play, saying that Haim was killed by the Hollywood system to keep him quiet. Okay, if Feldman was the only one talking about pedophilia in Hollywood, he would be easy to dismiss, yet the stories are there for anyone to check up on, including lawsuits and criminal cases against celebrities, directors, and producers alike. What does this have to do with Bob Saget? It shows a pattern of abuse of stars by other stars and directors, producers, etc. That shows there's a huge pedophilia problem in Hollywood, and with Bob Saget's circle of friends, it suggests that he was involved to some extent with pedophilia, though we may never know how far into this freak show he was. There are other cases, including the Michael Jackson saga, Armie Hammer, Bill Cosby, Harvey Weinstein, and Kevin Spacey, that show there is a deep-seated underbelly of sexual assault, child abuse, and cover-ups going back decades in Hollywood. One last note, just as I was putting this article/show together, NBC News is reporting that the family of Bob Saget now wants a judge to seal the autopsy photos. I guess that all-important question here is, what are they hiding in those autopsy photos? Hopefully one day there will be an investigation into the true activities in Hollywood, and hopefully prosecutions and full disclosure will occur.
Hopefully. I hope something good comes out of it, because this has got to stop. This is just, it's like a dam about ready to burst. And, like I said, I didn't stay married very long. There was a lot of things, but my wife and I saw some things. We went to parties, and finally we quit going to parties. And my mother-in-law just read us a riot act. She goes, "You guys stay home and drink. You don't need to go to those parties." And I'm glad we quit going. God only knows what they might have drug us into if we kept going to celebrity parties. So I'm glad I got out of it. My wife, who was my ex-wife when she died a few years ago, I can only imagine after We got divorced and I had to come back to Colorado with our daughter. I can only imagine what they got her into. She was married a few times after that, and I didn't like anything that was going on. And, you know, I hope, you know, that when she died, I hope she realized I still loved her, and, you know, and I hope the best, you know, for the rest of her family. She's, you know, her mother, cousins and everything. She was an only child, but she had a lot of cousins and everything, and hope they're all doing good. Fortunately, most of them are not even in show business, which is good. Our daughter works out there. I don't want to say where she works or anything, but she's tired of it. Her and her husband have seen so much. They've had enough. They're ready to go work in independent film and TV and just get away from Hollywood. It's so distressing for them. They can't handle it. And I don't blame her for wanting to get out of there. So, but anyways, like I said, this is going to be a series of stories on this. I think this needs to be exposed, especially considering who our president is. He's been accused by a number of women of sexual improprieties. And I don't like Trump. You know, my ex-wife and I, when we were married, we lived in New York for 6 months. We were going to open a branch of my ex-mother-in-law's rental company up there. She rented film and video equipment to film students and independent companies, and she sent us up there. And 6 months we lived up there, we heard plenty about Trump. You don't need to be a conspiracy nut, but you'll hear everything up there about him. So anyways, that's where this sits now with this radio program. I'll go from there. We'll try to get into some more stuff, and then I'll branch out. I got some other shows in other areas to do. I want to try and get my weather control series done on here as well. So anyways, be looking for this also on YouTube. I'm going to try and make it a YouTube video. This is also an article on Substack. So you'll be able to see it up there and everything. So anyways, this is Phantom B for Phantom Chasers Radio. That's all for now. Thank you for listening. Bye.